For there was once a priest, a minister, and a rabbi who were all good friends, and every week they would go fishing together on their day off. And on one occasion, the rabbi said, "I'm thirsty." And he stepped out of the boat, and believe it or not, he walked on the water to the beach and bought a soda at the concession stand. The next week, the three of them were out fishing again, and this time the minister said, "I am thirsty." And he too then stepped out of the boat and walked along the top of the water to the beach and bought a drink at the booth. Well, the third week, the priest thought, "Well, I'm thirsty." And he steps out of the boat and he sinks. And the minister turned to the rabbi and said, "We should have told him where the rocks were." Well, in today's gospel, we have the Lord actually working a great miracle. The Lord actually walks on the water. There were no stones or rocks out there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is quite deep. The apostles were a few miles offshore. And the Lord shows his divinity, his power over nature, by being able to walk on the water. He had about a 2 mile walk from the shore out to where the boat was. Again, because he is God, Jesus can work these great miracles. We know that he has power over nature. He could calm the storm. Jesus could multiply loaves and fish. He could raise the dead. He could cure lepers. He could give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. So take a look at today's gospel. It's a very beautiful gospel, very powerful. A lot of things we can draw from this gospel for our own spiritual life. The Lord had just fed 5,000 people. And right after the Lord did this, he made his disciples get into a boat and go across the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is about approximately maybe like 10 miles long and about 5 miles wide. And so it was quite a journey across there. But the Lord wanted them to go by themselves. Why did the Lord send them away? It was because of the crowd. The crowd realized that the Lord had just worked a great miracle. He just fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fish. And one of the gospels says they wanted to make him king. And so the Lord did not want the apostles to get caught up into the frenzy of making Jesus a political king. And so the Lord dismissed them and said, "I'll meet you on the other side of the lake." And said, then the Lord dismissed the crowds by himself. Well, after he did that, after such a busy day and a busy schedule, what does the Lord do? He prays. The Lord made time for prayer, to spend time communing, talking with his Heavenly Father. What a great lesson that is for us as well. See, everybody's busy. Everybody has a busy life. You never find time for prayer. You have to make time for prayer. Do you see the difference? People make time for whatever they want to do. If it's a favorite TV show, you make time for that. Or to do a certain activity, you make time for that. The only way to have a good prayer life is to make time for prayer. It doesn't just happen. You won't just find time to pray. You have to make time to pray. And that's what the Lord did. He made time to pray. And he went up on the mountain. The Lord loved to pray on mountains. He loved to pray by the seashore. But today he goes up and prays by himself. And he prays all night. And it's evening now. The sun has gone down. And now the moon comes out. Because by the light of the moon, the Lord could see the boat about 2 miles offshore. And a bad storm had just come up. These were very common in those days along the Sea of Galilee because of that particular region. Some very strong storms could come up on the sea. And the poor apostles were out there rowing against the wind. The boat was being tossed by the waves. And the Lord saw that they were in trouble. But he doesn't come to them immediately. It says it wasn't until the fourth watch of the night. This is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So notice the Lord waits quite a while before he rescues them, before he goes out to meet them. Why the Lord delayed, we don't know. But we do know that he was watching and obviously concerned about them. And eventually he did come out to walk on the sea, and eventually he would calm the storm. I'm sure sometimes you ask in your life, well, where is the Lord? Maybe you see challenges in your family or in your life, and you see, well, where is the Lord? The Lord obviously is there. He's watching. He's very aware of everything we're going through. Sometimes he doesn't act immediately. Sometimes we have to call out to him and pray and ask him to help us and to intercede. But the Lord did walk out to them on the sea. And when they saw him, it says they were terrified. They were filled with fear. They thought that they were seeing a ghost. The word fear has four letters, F-E-A-R. Someone once said that fear really stands for false evidence appearing real. See, most of our fears are false expectations, false evidence that appears real. See, their false evidence was that they thought it was a ghost, but it wasn't. It was the Lord himself. It says they cried out in fear, and the Lord assures them. He says, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Whenever I hear this phrase, I'm reminded of the true story that occurred in the life of Pope Leo XIII. He was Pope at the end of the 19th century. Obviously, he had a great sense of humor because the artist who painted his portrait for the Vatican did a very poor job. It was not a very good likeness. And so when Pope Leo XIII signed it, he signed his name and then he wrote these words in Latin. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. So the Lord told them, do not be afraid. It is I. Those words, it is I, are also the same words that translate as I am. It says, take courage, for I am. Jesus uses the name of God, the name that God revealed himself to Moses on Mount Sinai. I am who am. So Jesus reminds them, do not fear, for I am. And then St. Peter, who's always speaking before he thinks, St. Peter is always blurting out things. He's a patron saint for those who speak before they think. Or he says, Lord, if it is really you, tell me, command me to come to you on the water. And the Lord says, come. So Peter, believe it or not, gets out of the boat in the middle of this storm with the wind and the waves, and he actually begins to walk on water. And amazing, remember, Peter's name means the rock. Well, here the rock didn't sink at first. St. Peter was able to walk on the water because he had great faith in the Lord, and he was looking at the Lord. The Lord was beckoning him. But Scripture tells us an interesting detail. St. Peter got distracted, and then he turned his eyes away from Christ, and he noticed how strong the wind was and how tall the waves were. And he became frightened because he took his eyes off of Christ, and now the rock begins to sink. And he cries out, Lord, save me. Isn't that a great prayer? See, prayers don't have to be long. They just have to be sincere from the heart. Lord, save me. There's many beautiful prayers we can say throughout the day. They could be short prayers like Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I love you, save souls. Or Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on me. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. See, these little prayers are so powerful. This is a great prayer to memorize. Lord, save me. What a great prayer. It says it all. Notice Peter could not save himself, nor we can't save ourselves either. We need God's grace to save us. And so we call out, Lord, save us. And he gives us the grace to be saved. Again, we cannot save ourselves, but we do have to call out to ask God to save us. So immediately, notice the Lord is right there. He's right there, and he takes Peter by the arm, by the hand, and places him in the boat. And then he reprimands Peter for one thing, for not having enough faith. He says, oh, you of little faith. And so how do we please the Lord? By having great faith. The word faith is spelled F-A-I-T-H. Five letters. Somebody once said that this could stand for fully abandoned into thy hands. So remember that. That's what it means to have faith, to be fully abandoned into thy hands, O Lord. So then Peter gets into the boat. Jesus calms the storm. And all the apostles are now filled with tremendous faith. And they make a great profession of faith and say, truly, you are the Son of God. Well, how do we apply this to our life? Well, perhaps you're going through storms in your own life. Maybe your storms are financial. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe your storm could be a physical ailment or a diagnosis that you just got from the doctor. Maybe your storm is a relationship, a separation or a divorce or family problems. Maybe it's a difficulty with a spouse or with a child. Maybe one of your children has left the practice of the faith, or your grandchildren that you're worried about. Maybe the storm in your life is the loss of a loved one. Maybe you lost somebody that you really care about, a spouse or a child or a parent. Well, how do we not drown? Because sometimes it's easy to drown in sorrow or discouragement or despair. The answer is to do what Peter did. Reach out and say, Lord, save me. And keep your eyes on Christ. Don't worry about the wind and the waves and the storm and the sea, but keep focused on Christ. See, many people start to drown. They drown in alcohol. They drown in drugs or immorality or addictions. They drown in self-pity or despair. Why is that? It's because they've taken their eyes off of Christ and they look at everything else but Christ. So how do we keep focused on Christ? By receiving him frequently and reverently in Holy Communion, by going to Eucharistic adoration. And we're so blessed to have an adoration chapel across the street in the historic church, 100 hours a week. Monday morning to Friday morning, 24 hours a day, Eucharistic adoration, where Jesus is there waiting for you to come visit him and spend time with him. So when you feel in life that you're starting to drown, starting to sink, go to Jesus. He is the answer. He alone can save us. And we reach out to him and say, Lord, save us. And so keep your eyes focused on Christ in Holy Communion, in reading of Scripture, and I think, and especially in spending time with him in Eucharistic adoration, going to that chapel, spending time with the Lord. And truly, if you keep your lives focused on Christ, then you will not drown. You will not sink. And he will reach out to us just like he did to Peter and save us.